Back on it, ladies and gentlemen. Wegman's winning spotlight interview with members of the Manliest Pebble Hill Boys soccer team. So what's going on, fellas? Everyone say hello real quick, and we'll get right to it. Coach, what's going on?
Hey, how we doing? Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here in studio. And so Donya brought in, let's see here, Stuart. What's up, Stuart? What's happening?
How you doing?
Falso? Right?
Yep.
All right. And Will, how do you say your last name, Will?
Kavorik? Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here as well. So, Coach, let's talk about it right off the bat. I mean, there were some concerns about even having, you know, funding for the school and different things like that. So tell me what turned things around.
Absolutely. Well, just a quick history here. About 2.5 years ago, the school did go through a tough financial crisis in the winter of 2014. And since then, we've made some great strides, great turnaround. The school is definitely back on solid ground now, and we're starting to see the effects out on the athletic fields. Right now, knock on wood, we're undefeated. Our girls soccer team is doing extremely well. Girls tennis is undefeated. So,
was there also thoughts about, school that was going to continue, but a lot of sports were going to be cut, or that was
right? Yeah. With that, we did lose enrollment. So when your enrollment starts to go down, things have to happen. Programs start to go under. We lost a few programs, but mostly JV programs. For example, our boys soccer team, we don't have a JV team this year. Hopefully back, we'll get it back in a couple years. So we'll see.
But, see how things go.
It's a good fall start to the season for us.
What are they doing to try to get enrollment back to where it is and fundraisers and things like that?
One of the biggest things that we did is the school hired a marketing firm out of, I believe it was Atlanta, Georgia, the Crane Marketing Company. And they came and looked at every aspect of the school.
I should have done that. Yeah, no. I should have hired me.
They did a great job, and they came in and gave a lot of thoughts, ideas, suggestions, and we've kind of followed that and got everybody on board. So things are looking great at school right now.
All right, Stuart, let's go to you here for a second, buddy. 4 wins, 4 shutouts. Talk about it. It's got to be exciting for you guys. Get right close to the microphone. Put it right up to your face. You can move it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, right now we're just trying to take one game at a time, and we've done, I think, pretty well on the defensive end and the offensive end. I mean, not letting any goals in, and just our back line is just playing phenomenal right now.
So. We'll talk a little bit about the back line and what's going on there.
So it's a almost completely new back line this year. I was a little worried going into the season because we'd lost 3 pretty good backs. But everyone's been playing great, and I think we're at least as good as last year.
Coach, talk about, I guess, the team in general, looking at these guys coming into the season and some concerns, I guess, you initially had.
Well, the initial concern for this year, and let me just say this, I think both these guys are being a little bit modest right now. They're both playing very well, and maybe they get that from the old coach here. I don't know. But we lost 10 seniors last year. So people looking at us, you're going to be down. But I actually had a very good feeling going into winter and spring. With the dedication these guys have shown with the off-season training, I'm not surprised. I really thought we were going to have a better year this year. And that's what I've been preaching to them, is to play with confidence, get out there, have some fun, and good things are going to happen. And obviously it has so far. And we got our goalie and our sweeper here, and no goals allowed. That's pretty good.
Now, of course, you're going to for postseason. You're gonna be in Class C again, is it, or is it D? So this year, you avoid Bishop Ludden's in the C's, right? So if I believe that's the case, right? I mean, if that's the case, right?
I believe Ludden is back down in D's also.
Oh, so that'd be fun because they come back from the sectional title. They won the C sectional title last year and return a lot of guys from last year, and they're off to a solid start. Aside from them, are there other teams you're looking out there and thinking, okay, we're going to have to watch these teams eventually?
All right, well, I'm going to give you the old coaching cliche here, Phil. We're only worried about our game on Monday. But, if we want to look ahead, I mean, the traditional soccer powers are still out there. Fabius Pompey, always really, really strong. As you mentioned, Bishop Ludden has a great program, great coach. And the teams up north, we don't really get to see them that often. There's always a surprise team here and there. Last year in the sectionals, we met up with Madison, and they had a strong program, a lot of guys coming back. So there's a lot of good teams, programs out there, and I don't think there's one dominant team, and I think we can play with everybody.
All right. Now, yeah, you're sweeper and your goalie here, but Stuart, who on the front line so far has really stepped up this season and become a force offensively to help with this new look defense?
Well, I definitely think there's a team effort, and I think a lot of those guys, such as Simon Hoke or Josh Hupko, who are CAM and striker, along with Ronaldo Chen, they all do a really good job at passing the ball, moving the ball around, getting it to our outside backs, and they're really effective on offense.
Is it almost better to have the kind of attack that you have, not dependent on one guy at all, but really spreading the production around?
Yeah, that's what we try to do. I mean, we have numerous goal scorers, and we try to get everyone some touches on the ball and get everyone some shots in every game. So,
what's your normal alignment in a game? I mean, for those who might not know, I mean, in soccer, you usually come out with an alignment, a 3-4-2-5-2. What's your normal alignment in a game?
A 4-4-2.
Which would mean four backs, four middies, and two forwards. That would be the case.
So, yes.
And why does that work so well?
Well, coach likes to use our outside backs pretty effectively because he likes to spread the field a lot. So I think that's part of why that works so well for us.
I know we're going back to your state championship teams in 2000, 2001. I'm going to do that. But just from the alignment standpoint, what were those teams in terms of an alignment and how they lined up? And what was their alignment?
Even back then, Phil, we start off always in a 4-4-2, and we make adjustments with it. We don't always stay in it. We do push people up. We draw people back. I'm not a real big believer in the system. I believe it's really the players that make the system. Going back to the state championship years, you know, that was a different group of kids. We had different alignments that we would play with them and depending on the opponent. But we usually start off that way and then we make our adjustments from there.
By the way, we'll go back again, but obviously you go back to those championship teams. It's been 15, 16 years. I mean, that tells you how long we've been around. But what was the element about those two teams that separated them from not just being good, but put them over the top and did more than that?
With those teams, one of the biggest things that we had, well, the two things. We had a lot of kids that were there starting in kindergarten. And as their PE teacher, I could see them. I would get them excited about soccer, and I could see coming through that they were going to be good. And number two, a lot of those kids were club players back then. And let's face it, you know, the training that you get, with your clubs, get you the year-round training, which is great. But even with those kids, they would play other sports. But they would, you know, focus on soccer year-round. And that's how they got to the level they did. And they love to play together. They just were one big family, and that's what we preach. That's what I'm preaching to these guys now. That, you know, they have brothers out there that they don't even know, but know them.
Now, of course, currently with this team, how many of these kids, I mean, you play club, right? I mean, do you play club or not? How many of the current players do? I mean, do any of them do?
I'd say maybe two players play club on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the guys who play up top.
I see. But how have you been able to, at least in the offseason, how much offseason work have you been able to do together in terms of making sure that you come into the season sharp?
Yeah, so even though we don't play club, a lot of us are working really hard on the off season. We've been coming together over the summer to play scrimmages once a week, twice a week. We've really gotten playing time and gotten to know each other as soccer players. We also play a bunch of other sports. I would say the majority of the team is at least two-sport athletes at our school, so that helps.
All right. Well, it's a frequent topic on the Inside High School Sports Show, whenever we have guests on the show, especially male guests, is when they bring in beards. Why? Explain the beard. Well, you gotta do this.
Okay, well, it started off as just a bit of laziness over the summer, but then we started winning games.
Uh-oh.
And guess I can't lose it.
Superstition. Athletes aren't superstitious. That's just a whole bunch of hope, you know, but I guess, they're not superstitious at all. So if this keeps going on, by October, are we going to be seeing Dallas Keuchel here or something? Or James Harden or something like that?
Oh, boy.
I hope not.
That means you'd lose a game somewhere. That's a problem. I don't think you want to lose any games. In terms of the schedule, Don, I mean, who, besides the league games, who else have you picked up in your schedule to toughen things up this season, if you have?
All right, the way the league is set up this year, Phil, it's we actually have nine teams in the league. So we're playing everybody once, so there's eight games right there that counts as the league game. Then they were put into pods, so you're playing another team, you know, other teams twice, but it's counted as a non-league game. For example, we play Tully coming up. First time we play him will be the non-league game. Then we play him again as the league game. And I don't even tell the kids what's a league game or not. It's a game. It's important. Let's go win.
It's an opponent as I look at it that way. I mean, league standings are nice, but then you get around the sectionals, and that's that point. Going back to the point of obviously having them in the school revived, one of the things that has happened in the last couple of years is that you've got the athletic center that you've managed to build. Talk about, I mean, the athletic center and what's going on with that.
All right, yeah, we just opened up last week our new athletic center. It's also combined with an art center. It's a beautiful facility. Obviously, I'm really excited about the new gymnasium that we have. It's big. It's regulation size. It's, you know, for example, for our volleyball team now, the ceiling is high enough so they can actually host sectional games. But as the soccer coach, what I love about it is just the pure size of it. So if we have to practice indoors, which we will, we just have more space and we can get more things accomplished.
Have there been an upgrade to the soccer field as well? I mean, from what I saw in all those years past?
Yeah, they're always doing different upgrades to the field to make it nice. One of the things that we're lucky enough that we don't actually practice on our game field. We're one of the few schools that, you know, and for years and years, I've just always maintained we got to stay off it. Let's keep it in tip-top shape. So at the end of the season, you know, you're always hopeful, first of all, that you make sectionals. And then if you're lucky enough, you get to host a game because we preach skill play at our school. You know, I want a surface that's not cut up, not banged around. So that's
what think about. If you think about it, all the top clubs in the world, their practice fields are, they never use their pitch except for matches. And the matches and the field is pristine. I mean, it's green and perfect as a baseball diamond. Why? Because they're never on until the matches themselves. They're always practicing somewhere else. So I see where you're getting that there. What do you still need to improve between now and the end of the regular season in order to really make a championship push with this team?
Well, I think we're playing well, and we actually, you know, we've started off way better than we did last year, so that's a great sign. But are we there yet? Absolutely not. I think in every phase of the game, we still need to improve. And this is going to sound funny, so I'm going to put the pressure right on these guys. Yeah, we've had four shutouts. But we're still not happy with how the defense has played. There's always room for improvement. You know, when I played in college, I was a defender, so I've got a lot of pride in that. So I expect a lot out of these guys. They're my leaders, and they know. So you know, we're going to work on that. And if we can keep sharing the ball like we have, we've got some real skillful players. And you mentioned, Phil, we don't have one dominant scorer. We've got five, six kids that can strike the ball well and score for us. So my goal is to have even more than that. So they can't just focus on one person.
Well, as before, we'll give a shout out. Who do you want to give a shout out to that's listening on the show right now? Both of these.
Shout outs. Let's go. Go ahead, fellas.
Well, I want to give a shout out to our CDM, Theo. He's played great, been sharing the ball great.
And Theo.
Eckert Budis.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been playing great. Also, new for defense is Camden Ciatoli. He's been playing great on the outside. Also, Jared, he got a little injured a couple games ago, but he's back out. He's playing great.
And how about you, Stu? And by the way, are you in relation to Raymond Fausto, the Fausto fan from Skinny Atlas?
Yeah, it's my cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Raymond, I remember the hockey star. My goodness, what a great player. But anyway, yeah. Who would you give your shout-out to?
I mean, I just want to give a shout-out to anyone pretty much on the team, even who's not getting out of the field as much as other people, because they're really the ones who are pushing people in practice. And a lot of, even though they're not picking up stats, they're working just as hard as us.
And finally, Coach, who we want to...
I want to give a shout-out to a lot of people. First and foremost, to my friends and family that allow me to do this and the time, the commitment I put in it. And secondly, my coaching staff. Tony V, Ryan Strader, Will O'Malley, you guys are the best. And that's another reason why I think we're successful, is we have a great staff that works well together. So we really appreciate you having us here, Phil. This has been great.
Nice, thank you.
All right, fellas, thanks for coming in studio. Phil and I get back. We're going to catch up with Mark Burns and finish up some more of our top 10 next right here on the McDonald's Inside High School Sports.